recommending it backing out of it.
Did the sponsor have anything to do with that?
I don't know.
Sort of.
We're going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness to order for Tuesday, February 9th. We only have two items that we'll be dealing with today. The first of those is HJR 202. I'm going to open a public hearing discussion for purposes of introducing Amendment -3. Would you like to outline that for us, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Resolution 202, the committee heard previously on the 2nd of February, and in between the meeting dates, -3 amendment was pending. It's from Representative Kotek, Speaker Kotek's office. It incorporates the -2, which was prepared by Representative Parrish, which suggests specific services for veterans that the monies could be allocated to. It also lowers the percentage from 3 to 2%, but then it takes away all the reductions, the phase-out of the benefit over time. And it also removes the language that limits the legislature's ability to reduce the percentage. The fiscal is back and the revenue is back. It's an indeterminate on the fiscal and a revenue light because it has a subsequent referral to rules because of the constitutional amendment being referred to voters.
Any discussions or questions by members on the amendment?
I can explain it.
Sure, go right ahead, Paul, if you would, please. Representative Evans.
Show me here or down here?
No, you can stay here.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. The, I believe Director Smith will come in and clean up and explain the specifics. But what we were able to do is negotiate with the Speaker's office to assure that the bill will move forward given the current budget climate. 2% would be roughly around $24 million per annum is what, or for biennium is what is projected. The language does not specifically say that in the future years, general fund dollars from ODGA could or could not be supplanted. So there's no agreement about that except that there'd be $24 million a year for veterans programming, and we have the opportunity through the normal budget process to try and make sure that best decisions are made with our general funds. I'm excited because I believe this amendment will provide us greater long-term certainty because it doesn't tear down, and I actually believe that it will give us enough certainty to be able to undertake a series of projects throughout the state that really focus on the nexus of homelessness and transportation and employment and basically help those partnerships, those programs that can move veterans not only into getting the care through outreach that they've deserved, but hopefully getting them other services and into a life and an experience that may be fundamentally transformational in terms of life as they currently have it. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be seeing this move forward. I'm told that with this change, we have the absolute support to move it through the chamber, which is always helpful when you're trying to get something out of the building. And I just ask for your support of this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Evans.
Can I just quick clarify? It's $24 million a biennium, not a year.
Right. Right. So it's the projection of 2%.
The projection of 2%.
$2 billion.
So it's basically an...
Yeah. Right. Okay. I have two people have signed up. Cameron Smith, would you like to come up, Director Smith, and just provide us your perspective?
So good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the Director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm here to testify in support of the -3 amendment to HJR 202. And it is two steps forward and one step back. It is hugely helpful to remove that 3/5 and the ramp down over time. Those are the two steps forward. While moving from a 3% dedication to a 2% is less of a dedication for veterans' efforts, 2% would still be a meaningful dedication that would be well spent, not just at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, but as Representative Evans detailed, with the broad public and private partners that we know we can continue to work with to help draw down those federal VA resources as well as preserve limited general fund dollars. So we are supportive and happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Director Smith? Thanks a lot for coming up. I'll now call on Jody Weiser from Tax Fairness Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Lively and members of the committee. This is probably one of the hardest bills I would speak against this session because the need is profound. You can walk through any inner city and see the
You don't
need.
Have to speak against it.
Jody, would you just, your name for the
I'm sorry, please? Jody Weiser, Tax Fairness, Oregon.
Thank you.
However, given the fact that we don't know if IP 28 will pass, and facing the huge PERS deficit that we face, it seems imprudent to be making choices now for any purpose, and we've spoken against other good causes as well, because we're limiting the revenue that we then have available to face a really huge problem in the future. We think that asking for money from the general fund for this purpose rather than tying up forever a piece of the lottery funds is a better way to go. We'll know more tomorrow, but hopefully there's going to be some extra revenue now, and that's what we should be spending, not setting in stone something that would go on forever.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate that, and you always bring interesting perspectives to all of our conversations, so thank you. This is a referral to the people, to let the people of Oregon decide if this is how they would like to have us spend money. So what is the objection to having the people of Oregon cast a ballot in favor or not favor of spending these dollars in the way they see fit, rather than we're not making this allocation, we're simply giving it to the people to decide? How do you differentiate that if the people have spoken?
So I think that you can look at a number of decisions that have been made in the past by the people and see that they don't really understand how our budget gets balanced. And so this initiative is not going to say, do you want us to take money from kindergarten classrooms and give it to vets, or something that's really clear like that. And yet it will have an effect of taking money from someplace. And I don't know whether it will be the newest economic development idea or education or social services or what, but we know that the amount of money we have is limited. It's what comes in fees, in income taxes, in corporate taxes, and in lottery funds.
The follow-up? So if the people of Oregon tell us when they vote on this, because we're asking them to vote, that they are prioritizing 2% of lottery for the 350,000 people who have served in uniform in this state, and that's there, then they do get to have that choice. And most voters, I would argue, actually do weigh those types of things, and I want to give voters more credit for being able to make a good decision. Are you also aware that when we spend dollars on veterans to help them connect to their federally earned benefits, that it actually brings dollars back to the state? And one could argue that within a period of a few years, if we are doing a better and more diligent job of connecting veterans to their benefits, that we save money in our social service programs because we properly align people with the VA. We have tax-free disability compensation that's being spent where somebody is going to pay income tax on it. But I believe that, like Oklahoma, eventually that's a revenue positive thing, and they are generating dollars back into our community. So if the concern is that we're going to take money from something, but all data from other 49 states show that these dollars actually bring dollars back into our state, that in itself is an economic development. Would you not
agree?
You're
saying it's similar to getting money, federal money for airports or for EITC or any of those programs that have a good federal return on
investment. Well, when Oregon sends a dollar to the federal government and the federal government does not return us a dollar, this helps us bring our dollar back home. I don't think Oregon taxpayers aren't getting it done. I think our federal delegation isn't getting it done when they don't bring our full dollar back to Oregon, and they haven't for 30 years, arguably. So this has that effect of generating our dollars back to us. What is the objection with spending a little money up front to bring back our federal dollar if the goal is to not put pressure on the budget, and this would actually potentially be net neutral in the future or revenue positive?
So, Chair Lively, Rep. Parrish, I actually was trying to catch Rep. Evans, because he mentioned in the EITC hearing, I believe, the return, the federal return, and it's not something I know very much about. And so, you know, I don't know what the, I don't know whether it's a 15 to 1 or
$5 billion that we're leaving on the table by not connecting veterans to their benefits.
Rep. Evans, did you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Just in Oregon, again, other states have been successful. We're hoping to model after a lot of those other states. But in the recent history, we put in an extra, well, actually a legislature before this put in $1 million extra dollars. And at least initial estimates is that $7 million had come in from that million investment, and probably much more because that was the first several months of measuring something that often takes up to 18 to 24 months for full getting the appeals and everything settled so that people receive their benefits. Many estimate that it's about a $1 to $77 return, which really is one of the more, I would say, the best investments we could find. Understand your concerns about having to steward resources. That said, for 14 years we've tried to get more general fund and have not. And the fact that it would be, if the voters decided, secured in the Constitution for lottery dollars actually gives me great hope that we'll actually start to keep faith with our veterans.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Jody, for coming and testifying. Anybody else who wishes to offer any testimony on HJR 202? Not, I'll close the public hearing. And so we have all the documents we need to move the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Okay. And committee, the fiscal and the revenue statements are available.
Okay. I'll open a work session. Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 8th, 2016. As an appendage to HJR 202.
Vice Chair Escobo moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 8, 2016 to HJR 202. Is there any discussion? Representative Parrish?
Well, first I want to thank Representative Evans for finding a path legislatively. Ultimately, I don't think soldiers and veterans and their families should have to stand out in front of the Bi-Mart gathering signatures to get this initiative to the ballot. I think we have missed our opportunity a couple times to do this as a body and to honor them that way. So I appreciate that. I will say I'm not in love with 2% because I think the need is greater when you talk about 350 to 320 to 350, depending on whose number you're using, veterans, and 100 and 200,000 plus of them are still not connected. So this gets us a little further. It's not as far as I'd like it to be. But I appreciate that, you know, the people in this building, and particularly this committee, has been really wonderful about, we know the need, right? It's our colleagues sometimes that don't understand the need. I appreciate people like Greg Matthews, who's not here anymore, our former chair, who, you know, it texted me this morning and goes, really, 2%? I'm like, well, we'll take what we can get where we can get it. Because ultimately, you know, other competitive things on the ballot certainly slowed down the gathering for the 5%, although we still have till July, so nothing's done out there in that world yet until it's done. But the other thing I really want to get on the on the record is our legislative intent as a committee that while if the bill passes, which the polling shows that says that Oregonians want to vote on this, and I trust Oregonians to make their decisions, and sometimes that they're maybe smarter than us, that I want on the record that while they could supplant the current ODVA budget with these dollars, that is not my intent, and I will advocate very strongly in subsequent sessions should this pass, that it's really in addition to, not supplanting. And I think we all, if we're all going to be here in 17 and see this roll out, that we need to dig our heels in on this one.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to thank the speaker and the show of support. Much appreciated. We have not gotten a nod in the past, and it's appreciated.
Representative Escobar, did you have
thank
something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been on this committee, I think, 8 or 10 years, and it reminds me of going on a camping trip, and the veterans have their little trailer all ready to go on the camping trip, but no one ever hooks them up to a pickup to take them out of here. So they're always left behind. And I think our voters are very intelligent, and I think they're the ones that need to make the priorities, not someone else or not us. We've had situations where we voted on things, we've sent it out to the voters, and sure enough, they overturned what we said. So those voters are very astute, and they're very familiar with certain issues, and I think priorities for veterans would be one of their top ones.
Anything further?
Just a thank you.
Yep.
Is there any objections to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Vice Chair Escobar.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move the House Joint Resolution 202 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee of Rules by prior reference.
Vice Chair Escobar moves House Joint Resolution 202 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Rules by prior reference. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Evans?
Yes. Yes.
Representative Parrish?
Yes.
Representative Peluso?
Yes.
Vice Chair Boone?
Excused.
Vice Chair Escobar?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you all for all your good work on that. I'll close the work session on HJR 202, and I'll open an informational meeting on an amendment for House Bill 4097. So, members of the committee, remember we had one placeholder bill, and this is that placeholder bill. And so there was, over the weekend, I guess it was Representative Huffman, when an issue came up that we might be able to utilize this bill for. So we have before us a proposed amendment. Would you like to describe that for us, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the amendment to the placeholder, House Bill 4097, replaces the original measure, of course, because that content was for placeholder purposes. It permits the Office of Emergency Management to enter into an agreement with the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon regarding the operation of the tribe's PSAP, their 911 center. And we are posted as an informational today because we came in over the weekend and we wouldn't have met the notice requirements for any other sort of hearing, and we wanted to get it out there. The staff measure summary is posted under meeting materials, as is the Dash-1 Amendment.
Okay. Representative Huffman, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point?
Well, just thank you to you and Cheyenne for going back and forth over the weekend and helping try to figure this out. And I think Michael Mason, that's representing Warm Springs, will have some good testimony, as will Dave Stuckey for OEM.
Okay. So why don't we call the podium Michael Mason and Dave Stuckey. Why don't you both come up at the same time and we'll address this. Thank you both for being here.
Well, we'll age anyway.
Go right ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chair Lively and members of the House Veterans and Emergency Affairs, or Preparedness, I should say, Committee. My name is Michael Mason. I represent the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon, have done so here for 17 years now, and it seems like only yesterday that it all started. But at any rate, this has been a surprising issue. As I say, I've been representing them for 17 years. They've had a 911 point, communication point, call center, whatever, all of that time. And happily going along, dealing with 2,100 calls a year and, helping a lot of people. And suddenly in October, I learned that the Department of Justice has taken a careful look at the statutes and determined that all this time they didn't really find authority in statute for the center to operate, for an agreement for the center to operate. So it's not an issue with how it's being operated. It's not an issue of need or any of that. As I say, this is a center that's been operating for at least 20 years, and that's as far back as they're remembering at the moment. It might be 21. 2,100 calls a year. Half of the staff at the who are taking calls are members of the Warm Springs tribe. So prior to this, if you had an elder call in who's used to dealing on a first-name basis, and this is an example that was cited to me, was that Gladys called and said her house was on fire, except she called somebody in Condon, and they didn't know who Gladys was, and they didn't know where the house was. Now, if that happens at Warm Springs, they know who Gladys is, and they know right where her house is. They know where the dead zones are for cell coverage on the way to the house. They can, you know, tell you the fastest way to get there in that somewhat isolated area. So it really is a huge thing to keep this. Now, this isn't about the money. There was some funding coming from OEM. That's not coming. We're not asking for that. BAC will cover it. But it's really important to have this here at Warm Springs. And we really appreciate your help in, you know, quickly moving on this. We thought we had a vehicle in the other chamber, and then it turned out we didn't. I can say for the Warm Springs folks, they're very grateful for you hearing this and considering keeping this alive.
Yes, Representative Huffman.
Mr. Chair, and the bill in the other chamber wasn't any opposition or anything. It was a relating clause, so it's just a technical thing that we couldn't use.
As you say, Mr. Mason, timing is everything, and you just perfect. Wait to the last second, but we had a bill, so thank you for coming in.
And thanks to Representative Huffman and you, Chair, and Cheyenne, moving this so quickly. Really appreciate the effort over the weekend.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Mr. Stuckey, please.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, I'm Dave Stuckey, the Deputy Director for the Oregon Military Department. And military department's in support of this. We're in support of recognizing Warm Springs as a primary service answering point. This has been a culmination of discussion after about the last 6 months or so in terms of how Warm Springs has been recognized in the past. This amendment ultimately just allows us, OEM, to enter into an agreement to act as a 911 jurisdiction or a PSAP, or primary service answering point. And so as Michael mentioned up front, it was DOJ's assistance. We've had a lot of help from them. And so I'm going to stand up here and say that I think we have some really good counsel supporting us. And our counsel has helped us in terms of the 15th session. You may recall we had House Bill 2426, the agnostic bill to help clarify all the rules and that existed within the 911 community. And we thought we had a mechanism there. It didn't quite work out. And so allowing DOJ, trying to create this next generation thing, as well as the counties, there was an adjacent county that had an agreement also with Warm Springs. And so they started asking questions. So there's kind of just this culmination of questions, scrutiny, greater understanding. And basically, we all came to the same realization that what we really needed to do was just clarify current practice. That was how we wanted to manage this. There's an expectation that the Warm Springs answering point, primary service answering point, has been operating since 1999. That they will be managed. That they will do exactly what they have been doing. There's national standards. There's state standards. There's administrative rules that apply to the other 42 PSAPs. We've always counted Warm Springs in the PSAP count. They're 43. They're one of 43. And so from our standpoint, this just allows us to enter into an agreement. And so we would certainly appreciate your support in this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Okay. Members have any questions? Nope. Okay. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
So, Cheyenne, if I remember, so the placeholder bill, was scheduled for a work session previously.
That's correct, Mr. Chair, and we have expanded that given the amendment, newness.
So we'll be able to on Thursday. Okay.
Work session scheduled for Thursday.
Right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Any other questions for members on that? And so besides this one, Cheyenne, do we have any other work session for Thursday?
I don't have Thursday's agenda right in front of me, and we always double check those things.
I know.
I believe the potential is open for anything to be carried over that needed to move forward.
Right.
Otherwise, it is your public hearing only on the veterans'
preference
bill,
correct,
with no intent to move it, plus the addition of the public hearing work session on 97.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Do we know what's coming over to us from the Senate side, and do we have a sense, you know, if we could find what the bills are that are being sent our way, and maybe they're relating clauses, because I am working on an amendment that one of my counties, I was trying to get it amended into one of the housing bills that one of my counties would like to see us have, that I'm hoping maybe we can entertain in here as an amendment and get a fiscal working, because it fits the dash 10 to a different bill that's a veteran piece. I need permission from one of the committees to start working on a fiscal, but maybe if we hear that amendment here, it's a bill, it's an amendment that would allow local, it would allow local counties by their own vote to set their own preference for a tax exemption for disabled veterans. Right now we do it by statute, and it's a 50% service-connected disability, and we get X dollar of a homestead exemption for property taxes. Clackamas County has told me, a couple of my commissioners have said they'd like to be able to vote and create their own schedule that could slide up and down the disability scale and slide up and down how much discount they want to give. But right now, they're fixed to the statute, so the amendment would actually allow them by a local vote to make a decision about maybe they wanted to give a 75% disabled veteran a little higher, or maybe they wanted to recognize that a 40% veteran who's got a really long claim going with the VA and is struggling to stay in their home, and they're probably going to actually, they are, maybe are more disabled than the VA says, maybe that they give them something. But they want to make that decision locally in their own county without just a fixed number in the statute, and that's what that amendment does. It's currently the dash 10 of House Bill 4143. Could easily get tucked into a housing bill, although unfortunately that's not happening. Maybe we can get it tucked into a bill that, as it relates to veterans, just as easily. So I'd like to have us maybe think about that and entertain that as we think about Senate bills coming over, where we could amend that but get the fiscal working on it now if this committee's open to that idea.
So the
Mr. Chair,
yes,
I could follow up, prepare a list of possible referrals coming this way from Senate Bills with their related clauses to the members after we're done.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Sure. I want to just remind members, so the informational hearing we're having on Thursday about House Bill 4096, the veterans' preference, isn't to revisit everything we've visited before. It's simply to publicly have those that still disagree tell us what it would take for them to do it, and then we'll take that information and decide how best. Doesn't mean we'll do anything, but I want to just get on the record, because we spend a lot of time talking and a lot of different things, and so I just want them to be on the record, say here's the three things, if that's what it is, that we would need for us to be comfortable with this bill, and then we can decide what the next steps before 2017, how we do it. Okay, so now I would entertain a motion to suspend the rules to allow Representative Boone.
So moved.
Wait, I wasn't even done yet.
I knew what you were going to say, though. I can read mine.
Mind reader.
I think that's offensive.
So we're going to allow Representative Boone. We're going to take a vote on that one?
To vote on HJR 202. Representative Boone, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything further to come before the
committee? I knew what he was going to say.
You are too.
Not Will adjourn.
I knew what he was going to say.
You are too.